Hello, what have we here?
Hey everyone, welcome back to Resistance Radio. It's episode 56. Hope you all enjoyed last week's show, because this week, it's all about our trailer breakdowns. As always, I'm Mikey B, joined by my co-host, Danya.
Hello, everyone.
Hi, Danya.
Hi.
We also have Ben joining us again this week. Hey, Ben.
Hello there.
And last but not least, Caitlin, how are you doing?
I'm good. You?
I'm a little tired, but it's all good. Don't worry. If you want to get involved in the conversation, you can get a hold of us on Twitter at @rradiopodcast. Leave a comment on our Facebook page or send us an email through our website at resistanceradio.net. You can also leave a comment on this post when it goes up on hypable.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/resistanceradio. With over 180,000 titles to choose from, for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player, get the latest Star Wars audiobook for free. I will tell you, Thrawn is still really good. You should listen to it. Anyway, we've also launched our Patreon, and I think we're narrowing down our first movie theater time. For all our Patreons, we'll be watching The Phantom Menace, I think, is what won. So it'll be Wizard, and we'll watch Jar Jar Binks and have fun conversation about that. But you can check out Patreon at resistanceradio.net/Patreon. There are some amazing perks, like our Discord chat, so you can join us live in the recording studio. Movie nights, like I mentioned, with Phantom Menace, and obviously all the other movies as we go through. And we will be playing our first After Dark episode coming up soon. I'm also going to have all the outtakes from the episodes released for Patreons exclusively, so you could hear me do the same thing like 3-4 times. And Danya talk about hockey.
Do you still have that one from like a while back when you had to do it like 4 times?
No, I don't. Maybe.
You know,
it's probably somewhere like it's probably with the original New Hope.
Yeah, it's lost. It's degraded so poorly over the years that it'll never be resurrected. As I open up my editing program, I'm like, there it is.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
All of its unedited glory.
Before we jump into news, guys, I always ask Danya, what do you guys think of the perks? But Caitlin, Ben, what do you guys think of those perks for our Patreon members? We also have a perk, which I haven't mentioned, is you can actually get a t-shirt. So if you're interested in a Resistance Radio t-shirt, you can also go ahead and join up there and get the t-shirt right from Patreon. So what do you guys think about our Patreon perks?
Do they get the t-shirt if they don't live in the States?
Yes. Yeah, they do. They do. There's no limitation to the United States on that.
I think what's happening there, Mikey, is that she's rubbing you over the fact that she can't order a t-shirt to Canada.
Yeah, if you still email me, I told you I would take care of you. You just have to email me because I don't have an address to mail a t-shirt to, Caitlin. Whatever. It's all right, Caitlin. You know what? The t-shirt is for anybody worldwide except Caitlin. How about that? There we go. That's the actual answer.
So for everybody.
Everyone can get a t-shirt worldwide except Caitlin. And I'll know if you're going to give it to her. No. Anyway.
I will make the sacrifice.
Caitlin, I'll order 2.
Thanks, Ben.
All right. Yeah, but what do you guys think about the Discord chat, the recording studio, everything, guys?
I like it.
Yeah. I think it's fun. I enjoy the recording studio.
It's a good idea.
I will say I get distracted sometimes though with things that get posted while we're recording, but I love it.
Yeah. I just feel sorry for those who do decide to join us in the recording studio and then like listen for 20 minutes about hockey.
It's so true.
Hey, hockey is awesome.
Rude.
Well, not just hockey. I'm just saying, or like starting the show 8 times,
It's behind like the smoke and mirrors and the polish of editing. So you get to listen to me and Caitlin talk about hockey for like 30 minutes before Mikey and Ben rock up because we were in there early freaking out about the playoffs because playoff hockey is happening right now. It's fun. I say fun. I mean, I've been having like an extended heart attack for the last week.
4:30 in the morning.
Yes, it's true.
Sorry, Star Wars?
Oh yeah, are we going to talk about Star Wars?
Alrighty. Also, obviously, if you aren't on Patreon, you can go ahead and check out merch on our website. T-shirts and buttons are available there. But let's move on to the news. All right. First bit of news that I want to talk about, something we didn't talk about last week, was Battlefront 2 trailer was released. This will be released. I know, right? This will be released. This will be released around December. Do we have an actual release date? I don't know if we do.
I don't think they gave a specific release date.
I think they just said December. I think they're just going to release it. I think they're just going to give it a release time. Right? Yeah, it just says December. So pre-order for it to be released sometime in December. They don't tell us. But the really cool thing is this is across all three eras, prequels, original trilogy, and sequel trilogy, which is kind of exciting because a lot of people were really disappointed that we didn't get any prequel era content in the previous Battlefront. There's also a lot of interesting Twitter remarks from DICE and EA because there's a little going back and forth. Is there going to be a season pass or not a season pass? DICE doesn't want there to be a season pass. So we'll see if you buy the game and you get the whole game versus having to add a little things to get the expansion stuff as it comes out. But the really exciting part is there is going to be a single player, a Soldier's Untold Story. Basically, to give you an idea, it's basically as an Imperial, you will forge a new path as Aiden Versario, a commander of Inferno Squad, which is tied to a new book that's coming out, an Imperial Special Forces unit, equally lethal on the ground as in space, encounter many of the Star Wars' greatest characters in a story of revenge, betrayal, and redemption that spans 30 years. The really cool part about this story right here is that it is considered canon. With the exception of battles. So the exception of like the outcome of battles, because obviously it's a video game, the story parts
every
itself,
single
cinematics,
one is canon.
Yeah, you know, because when you face Luke Skywalker and you kill him, you know, obviously that's not what really happens. But the story part
spoiler
of it,
alert.
This character from the Inferno Squad, so the novelization is going to be coming out of its own story, and then you're going to follow this path, which is considered canon. So it's kind of cool to actually live through Star Wars. What do you guys think about the single player mode?
So we had a comment dropped into the Patreon chat that basically sums up exactly how I feel about this, which is there is an extent to which, given the current political climate, let's look at this from the point of view of the evil empire is not something I'm particularly interested in right now. And I know I've said multiple times on this show that the one thing that I really wanted from Battlefront was it was a story mode. I've wanted that. I really, really did. I don't particularly relish the idea that the story mode is going to force me to play as the Empire, because that's not something I'm interested in. I'm one of those Star Wars fans who, like, I understand things like the 501st and the idea behind it, and I understand all of the Empire merchandise and First Order merchandise and stuff like that. It's quite... the iconography is there and everything like that. It does, to a certain extent, make me very uncomfortable, the idea of commodifying the... basically, the sort of part of the Star Wars universe that symbolizes the Nazis, essentially. And so I find it very difficult to reconcile with that and actually feel comfortable with going ahead and getting or basically immersing myself in those stories or wanting to put myself in that point of view, because it's just not something that I'm particularly interested in. So on the one hand, there's a lot about this that I find very, very interesting in that, again, it's another woman of color. And not only that, a woman of color in a video game leading the video game franchise into its next sort of era, which, you know, not usual. And particularly with huge movements like Gamergate, that is a massive step forward, not only to have a woman heading up a game set in this massive sci-fi franchise, but also a woman of color at the head of it
as well. And be clothed.
Well,
don't forget that she actually wears clothes too.
Yes, so it is in certain respects a huge deal, but from another respect, while I appreciate that it is a point of view that maybe other people would want to play through, for me, I'm not interested in it. And yes, that is entirely because of my political leanings. I will fully admit that. You know, there is a certain amount of, oh, you should be open to XYZ and learning about, like, the other side. Yes, there is, but also the Empire is basically Nazis. So there is a certain line that you draw of being like, yes, understanding the opposition party and your political leanings is incredibly important to having a huge and overarching opinion on basically the political and social climate of how life works, but also when Empire equals Nazis, that's the hard line I kind of draw of being like, you know, not really that interested in getting into the mindset of them.
Yeah, here's the thing I'll tell you about this, though. Like, the only saving grace I will say about this is, if you've played the first Battlefront, as much as I love being, you know, I'm Rebel all the way through, from Star Wars The Old Republic to being predominantly light side versus the Empire side, to, you know, everything. I like Jedi. I like Jedi versus Sith. I'm always the good guys, right? But I will tell you, when you play Battlefront and you are a soldier on the Republic side, you're kind of like, they look like they're just wearing military gear. It's not, you're like, take it, you're shooting at stormtroopers, which is awesome. But you're kind of like, okay, until you got to the higher levels where you can play as, you know, a Sullustan or a Corrin or something else that make you look like, you know, a rebel. It was kind of boring. Like, you didn't have any of the icon. Like, the outfits that the rebels wear are pretty basic. Now, on the flip side, as a stormtrooper, you have the TIE pilot outfit, you have the stormtrooper outfit, you have the scout trooper outfit, you have the death trooper outfit, you have all these outfits that are iconic, obviously for a negative reason, but they are iconic. So I get being immersed in the story here. So we'll just have to see how Inferno Squad comes out, how the book's going to be and everything, and then how the story plays. But it'll be interesting. I think it'll be interesting to play as a single story, because this is something that the first one didn't have. It does have an extended multiplayer with new space battles, because all the battles we had that were ships were not in space. And then we have also, what else do we have? Split screen co-op. So if you play on a console, instead of having to play online only and have to have like two PS4 Go accounts, you can actually go ahead and just play with each other through the story, which I think is kind of cool, because if you have a friend over or something like that, that's kind of fun. Ben, you haven't talked about Battlefront, and I know you were excited about it. Tell us what you think.
Yeah. Well, firstly, I just want to go off of what Danya was saying. I don't like completely, you know, disagree with you, but I come from the perspective of when I was a kid, the villains were awesome. So I wouldn't be thinking as deeply into it as you would be. So like going in and playing as the villains would be like, yeah, the villains are so cool, because I mean they are, but like not for, you know, what they represent or like that kind of thing. It's just like when you're a kid, you want to, you know, buy those action figures and have the bad guys as well as the good guys. So I would go into it with a much less like serious mindset than you would. But I mean, like, you know, like I said, you're not wrong. I'm just saying, like, I think that might be the mindset of a lot of other people.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, the whole idea of the Empire, you know, because the Empire is so big, you know, having that full mindset of the Empire being Nazis versus the rebels, you know, being like, you know, the, you know, allies versus Axis or something like that, power wise you obviously have some characters who are obviously evil, you know, Darth Vader. You know, not only did he kill younglings, but just the way he is, the Emperor, and obviously some of the top, you know, someone like Tarkin, who is very military-minded, but heartless in the sense of willing to destroy an entire planet to make a point. But at the same time, you know, when you're on some middle rim, like, and again, this is coming from my reading of the Thrawn novel, which I think is just an amazing book, but when you have someone who's on, like, a middle-of-the-road planet, mid-rim planet, far root moved away, and the Empire has brought things like running water, you know, to different things, and help settle disputes between native, like essentially Indian tribes. It kind of gives you an interesting like look that not everybody thought they were doing bad. They were trying to bring order and justice, which is what the Empire was for. But obviously, they did it through oppression. You know, they did a lot of it through oppression. Most governments get corrupt in some way, and you know, unfortunately, the Empire was very, very corrupt in a lot of ways.
So
I'm excited to see how the story goes. Like, I will withhold judgment until I play it. Does that make sense?
I think it's, I get it, but also it's just, like, I can read about it in stuff like the Thrawn books, and I can read about it in, like, reading the Tarkin book and stuff like that, and also books where it's, like, at least a split POV between, like, the heroes and the Empire. It's a lot more difficult when you are pushed to actually be those characters.
But like, you can force them to die and be like, look, I'm doing my part by killing off, you know, these stormtroopers. Standing in open fire.
Yeah, that's the difficulty that I've got with the story mode specifically, is that there are things about it that I can appreciate, but also, from a personal standpoint, I would want to play as a part of the Empire. I didn't in Battlefront either. Whenever I did play Battlefront, I would never choose to play the Empire. So, like, that, and that's a personal choice. I fully respect and understand that that's not going to be the case for everyone. I just find it very difficult to have to put myself into that point of view in order to play. So having the entire story mode based around the Empire and an Empire storyline, like, for me, can appreciate that for a lot of people that's very exciting and they're quite interested in it, but for me, less so. And as much as I wanted a story mode, I probably wouldn't end up playing it, which is actually really disappointing. But I can also separate myself from that and understand that that is entirely a personal opinion and approach to it. I mean, even as a kid, I wasn't interested in, any merchandise to do with the Empire. All of, like, the figures and stuff, Star Wars figures that I owned were, like, everyone as part of, like, the Rebel Alliance. Like, that's what I had. I had all of, like, I had Luke, I had Han Solo, I had Leia, I had, like, X-Wing pilots. Like, I never owned, like, a Darth Vader thing. I never owned Stormtroopers, nothing like that. I guess I was the odd kid, I guess, in that I was never interested in playing the Empire.
Yeah, no, I get that. And that's where, you know, and that's why I said it'll be an interesting take, and we'll just have to see how it actually, like I said, I'm reserving judgment until I actually play it through, just to see how it actually goes, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does make sense.
Moving on from Battlefront, so definitely check out the trailer for it. It is a very awesome looking trailer. Like I said, it does span all three eras, so you can play as Darth Maul or Yoda, which is pretty cool. But moving on, if you missed Star Wars Celebration, like I did, I'm not sad about it at all.
Like we all maybe did.
You can also view an awesome 7-minute Best of Celebration video that's on StarWars.com. And if you've watched our live from Indie PopCon panel, you may spot 501st and Rebel Legion member Matt Hoffman in the video saying something that I would agree with, you know, the Carrie Fisher tribute made me cry. But it's a great little video kind of recapping everything from the 40th anniversary panel to the Last Jedi panel and the heroines. The heroines one, and just everything that's just phenomenal, including the Rebels panel too. So I thought this video was a great recap of the entire weekend. What'd you guys think of this video?
Well, we watched it. Well, I say we, myself and Caitlin watched this on the Patreon stream just before we started recording, and there was a lot of laughing and getting emotional and basically being awed at some of the costumes. Like, some of them were incredible. Like, there was like a Luke one, like Force Awakens Luke, that was insanely good, like to the point where I had to do a double take to make sure that it wasn't actually Mark. I was like, holy crap, okay. But it really encompasses, because I was very fortunate to be able to go to Star Wars Celebration in London last year, and just watching it brought back that feeling of like what it was like when you were there, like just immersed completely, and all of these people like dressed up, you're all there for the same thing, and you're all excited and hyped up, and just that atmosphere, like feeding off of that raw energy and just being able to be there is incredible. There's nothing quite like it, especially when you're all experiencing something for the first time. Like, in my case, it was stuff like Rogue One footage and episodes of Star Wars Rebels and, like, loads of other things. But this time around, you know, like, The Last Jedi trailer and the first footage of it, and then the announcement of, like, the final season of Rebels and all of that, and then the Carrie Fisher tribute. So, like, just everything as you went through it was just incredible. And it was beautifully edited together. I love it. It's so hard to kind of boil down Star Wars Celebration into just a recap video that captures what it means and how you feel when you're there. But I think this one did it quite well.
No, I agree. It's just absolutely phenomenally done.
I loved the part when John Williams had to turn around and shush the crowd. And I'm like, I want to be shushed by John Williams.
Goals in life.
Yeah. I feel like if they had, like, the title crawl, he could just not shush them and go. But, you know, they were doing Princess Leia, so that makes sense that they should be quiet. All the lightsabers. I'm watching the video right now, and it's doing the same thing it did the first time. I'm so happy.
Yeah, it's a good video. But one thing it does show a little bit of, I will say, is it does show a little bit of the Rebels panel, which we talked a little bit about last week after the news was released. But one thing we skipped over, and I don't know why I skipped over it. I just know we didn't talk about it. Did we skip over how it was revealed? That Ahsoka lives?
No, we talked about it, because I'm pretty sure I talked about the wolf imagery as well.
Okay. Yeah, there was discussion about wolves.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure I discussed Dave Filoni's epic trolling of coming out in a t-shirt to start with that said Ahsoka lives ? And then after the trailer aired, he came back on stage and the lights came up and he had Ahsoka lives ! On his t-shirt. I definitely mentioned that on the last episode.
Okay. So I couldn't remember if we did or not. But yeah, so obviously Filoni changed it during the trailer of Ahsoka lives ? To Ahsoka lives ! To let fans know that, yes, Ahsoka lives.
Didn't he switch it back, though?
I think he did. When he got up to the Rebels round, it was either roundtables or it was a news conference. They usually do a news conference for a news conference style press room for Rebels. Chris Taylor had who wrote How Star Wars Conquered the Universe book, which if you haven't read it. It's an incredible book. He took a picture with Dave Filoni, and Dave was back in his Ahsoka Lives ? T-shirt. So, yeah. He did switch in and out of them all the time and refused to, like, acknowledge that it had, like, he was playing coy about it. He wouldn't confirm one way or the other what it actually meant.
He was trolling.
Hardcore he was absolutely trolling. So we still have zero confirmation.
Yeah. But then we also have Eckstein talking about, I would love an Ahsoka movie, not only as the voice of Ahsoka, but just as an Ahsoka fan. And she's like, I'm amazed they're even discussing this right now. So,
yeah,
I mean, I don't know if they're just, you know, I'm sure there's an idea thrown around about that, because there was an Ahsoka novel, which they talked about how amazed they were with the just the release of it, and like people, you know, it becoming a bestseller you know, so they were amazed with that. And they were just amazed with the character, how fans have latched on and loved this character. So I think I might say that it's a troll, but at the same time, like, there's some truth behind it.
I mean, the truth of it is that Ahsoka will never die as long as the fans love her. So, and it's, that's like the same for any character. So, there is that, but also in the context of the actual show, which is what most fans use the Ahsoka Lives hashtag for, there is no confirmation that Ahsoka is still alive, though there are several theories based on the Wolf iconography that came up during the season 4 trailer. So,
well, then we will just have to see. Anyway, on to the season 4 Rebels trailer breakdown. Alright, so we talked about the trailer last week a little bit. But just as we go scene through this, can I tell you how amazing Hera's voiceover is at the beginning of this? Like, it gives me chills thinking about her talking about, you know, it started as a story with a boy. You know, like, him and then, you know, oh my god, it's so great.
I love that it's told in, like, almost the style of a folk tale or a fairy tale. And especially with how Luke and the Jedi are treated in The Force Awakens. Like, for the most part, most people think that they're a myth, that they're just stories that are told. That kind of theme of, like, how she told the story over the top of the season 4 trailer, I felt really reinforced and played into that idea of, like, the further away you get from the event, the more they start sounding like mythology or folk tales or fairy tales, like things that have some bearing in truth but aren't entirely true. So for us, even though we're seeing the imagery of everything playing out underneath that voiceover, you could very well imagine that a little bit further down the line, if the story was continuing to be told, that perhaps it would be seen as, like, an embellishment of what actually happened, when we know that that's not the case. But it just put me in mind of that a little bit, which I thought, I don't know whether that's intentional, but if it was, it's a very clever way to subtly play into that idea that eventually this war, these battles, everything that happened, while some of it survives and some of it remains true, a lot of the more mystical parts of it, like things that involved the Force and the Jedi, probably weren't going to be believed as much. So I thought it was a really interesting choice to have that kind of voiceover for the season 4 trailer. But yeah, absolutely got chills, had so many feelings about it, and especially because it's Hera.
Yeah, well, and it's also 30 seconds of season 3 and previous footage, so you're kind of like, oh, they put something together that is not going to be something new, and then it cuts to the new stuff. So I think it was done very effectively. The one thing I do want to really pull out of the kind of the voiceover talking about the crew of the Ghost is Chopper is referred to as a war veteran. Now, we know he survived. He was a, you know, astromech in a Y-wing in the Clone Wars. Then he obviously, you know, he crashed on Ryloth, which is where Hera found him. And he's been obviously fighting in this battle too. It's really interesting that she refers to him as a war veteran, because it does show that, at least when we talked about, like, the morality and the kind of the relationship certain people have with different droids in the Star Wars universe, it instantly gives the credence that Chopper is a member of the crew. He is not just a droid, a property. He is a member of the crew.
Yeah, so I love that.
Yeah, so I just really wanted to point that out, because I really liked it that, you know, because it was really, you know, again, they showed previous season footage and stuff, but the fact that you see Chopper looking at the Y-wing that he originally crash landed on Ryloth on, it reminds me, like, man, I forgot about that, like, he is a war veteran. He's been around that long doing exactly what he has been doing, fighting this fight. So I really enjoyed the, you know, the voiceover for that specifically. But moving into that, you've put something in here, Donya, that I do want to touch on. The relationship between Hera and Kanan. It's pretty obvious now that yes, there is a relationship there. And like I said, if you read the New Dawn novel, it makes it pretty obvious that there's a relationship between the two. I think I talked about that with Mikal and you when we did the show about the Rebels season 3 finale. But yeah, yes. You're right. Hashtag now kiss. It's they're right there by each other's face. So
I know. I love these two. I mean, I feel like season 1, it was far more obvious that there was something between them, and we obviously had the almost meet the parents episode as well, which was hysterical, and I'm still not over that when Kanan is just messing up everyone's names because he's so flustered and introduces people in the wrong order. And just, I love these two. I love their relationship. I love that it's built on mutual trust and respect. I love that they both have their strengths in each individual way, but they also give each other the space in order to be able to go on their own missions and do what they need to do. Because Kanan's journey as a Jedi is far different than Hera's journey, which we know is eventually going to lead her to become, I believe, a general, because it was General Syndulla that we heard over the comms in Rogue One, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And because the ghost was there, I think a lot of us probably assume that Hera is eventually going to become a general. So
yeah, she will be promoted by the end of season 4, is what came out of the Rebels panel also.
Yeah. So, you know, they both have very unique journeys in respect to, like, where they're going. But also, they intersect as well as part of Ghost. Just their relationship in general. I just love them so much. They are my OT freaking B. So, I love them to bits.
One thing I do want to talk about in the trailer, we get to see a new alien assassin that goes by the name of Rook. Which I briefly skimmed over it last time, but now it's in canon. Danya, what do you think about seeing Rook in action here?
That is an evil cackle if I've ever heard one.
That is a very evil cackle because, oh my god, if this is going where I think it's going, this is going to be crazy. Oh my god. Oh my god.
you know what scene I'm talking about, the aliens that Rook is there. So, do you want to explain who Rook was? I think we talked about it once, but do you want to explain who Rook was?
I think we did talk about it briefly, but I think you vetoed me actually going into it any more than I was allowed to, because it could potentially give spoilers for what might happen, because we were talking about it is it Through Imperial Eyes was the episode where they tried to break Kallus out? Yeah, as his almost shut down code to be able to like stop the droids. But like, so just be aware that that's still very important. Clearly, that wasn't a throwaway word as just a hearkening back to the original Thrawn novels. Apparently, no, that is actually going to come back into play in season 4, which is quite interesting. Yeah. I really don't want to go into it anymore because you almost told me off and murdered me the first time.
Well, I don't want to spoil. So I will tell you, if you go to 1:10 into the Rebel season 4 trailer, you will see Rook fighting with Ezra on speeder bikes. Where it looks like Kanan in a scout trooper outfit is riding the speeder, unless Ezra's just, you know, cozying up to some scout trooper, but I'm assuming it's probably Kanan. And so Ezra is fighting Rook, and they're on speeder bikes, which is kind of cool, kind of all Return of the Jedi. But so Rook does make an appearance in there, and it was confirmed to be him, which is the assassin bodyguard of Thrawn. So obviously season 4 is going to have pretty significant Thrawn in it, which is pretty awesome. When you were talking about Kanan petting the wolf, I do want to mention that. If you go to that scene, I'm pulling it up right now, about 1:24 in, yes, there is what appears to be Jedi cave paintings and Yoda in the top right corner with a little lightsaber on his belt, it looks like. So Kanan is talking to this wolf that we previously see Ezra and Sabine riding, while Sabine looks like unconscious. So, do you think the wolf is Ahsoka, Danya?
So that is the prevailing theory, mostly because a lot of the iconography that Dave Filoni used in conjunction with Ahsoka through, like, concept art, and then even additional art for, like, merchandise, like the Topps trading cards, had wolf imagery alongside Ahsoka. So, the prevailing theory amongst people at the moment is that it has some kind of connection to Ahsoka. Whether it's Ahsoka herself, they're not sure, but that it could potentially be connected to her in some way. Like, I think some people are thinking, like a animagus kind of form of Ahsoka, to bring some Harry Potter in here.
Or like a rebirth, kind of a reincarnation type thing.
Yeah,
I'll argue the reincarnation is if you look at that scene, I just posted the picture in Discord. Obviously, I talked about that there looks to be a little Yoda in the top right with another Jedi up there. But in the bottom, there is three pictures of kind of like a wolf, then something in transformation, and then a person. With even like Leku,
yeah,
or you know, things like the Gerudo would have. So it could be something that went the opposite way, you know, like it could be Ahsoka. But, you know, I'm open to all different things. We've learned that there's a lot of things about the Force that we don't know. Hence the Bindu becoming this amazing, you know, storm.
I know, right? There are things that are possible with the Force that we haven't discovered and we haven't learned yet. So the possibility that Ahsoka could transform into an animal, I don't think is outside of the realm of possibility. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where they go with it, if that is the direction that they take. But it's very... I know that Dave Filoni has a huge obsession with wolves just in general, but I don't think it's a coincidence that he's used that iconography in conjunction with Ahsoka, and now it's coming into play.
Yeah. I will say, you know, coming in as the last season, definitely the wolf tied to Ahsoka, I think, is probably there. But I do want to talk about also, in the same vein of the trailer, is new characters that we haven't seen since Clone Wars. Not only saw Guerrero back in the trailer, but we also have Bo-Katan, who was the sister of Satine, who Obi-Wan and her had a little, you know, thing. But Bo-Katan was also... That's a whole Clone Wars story. You know what we're talking about, Caitlin.
Yes, I do. I watched it.
I know. That's what I said. You know what we're talking about. Obi-Wan and Satine. But also, Bo-Katan was one of the leaders of Lieutenant of Death Watch. And we see her with the Darksaber at the end and a bunch of Mandalorians kneeling down. What do you guys think of that scene right there?
I mean, if it does turn out that... Sabine or someone within Sabine's family doesn't become the de facto leader of Mandalorians, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, mostly because Sabine made it abundantly clear that she was not interested in being the leader of the Mandalorians. So she very much said that she wanted to hold on to the Darksaber until someone came along that could wield it in order to be, like, the leader of Mandalorians. So, I feel like it's a storyline that makes a lot of sense, if that is the direction that they go in. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, again, that saber means is the, you know, she's trying to find somebody who's worthy of the name Mandalore, which would be the leader of all the Mandalorians.
Like the unifying force that brings all the clans together.
Exactly. It brings all the clans together and everything. Because right now there is a battle between Clan Ren and Clan Saxton. And they have different, you know... Obviously, Clan Ren is with the rebels, Sabine. And then you have Clan Saxton, who is Gar Saxton, who is part of, you know, the Empire. And they've kind of... They've become their stooges in a way. But if you take the picture of the screenshot I tossed in here, you'll see that Sabine and her mother are both standing behind Bo-Katan, and you see all the Mandalorians and it, I can't tell what faction the Mandalorians are from this picture, from the backside image, but they're standing behind her, and as she raises the saber up, they all start to kneel down, which is, you know, it's that unifying moment that we were talking about, you know, that she passed the saber on to somebody who she believes is, you know, going to be the person to unify the Mandalorians. So I'm excited for this, especially considering her sister did rule Mandalore before that. Right? So we'll see how that plays out.
Yeah.
And then we have our favorite Imperial turn bad boy rebel. Hashtag
you
hot
okay,
Callus.
Danya?
The mutton chops. The mutton chop Callus. What do you guys? All right, so here's the thing: is like Callus just looks like way more, relaxed in his new role. You know, he looks comfortable as a rebel. The whole, it was really funny. Is the hashtag hot Callus thing was something that apparently they're about a year and a half in advance. Like as when they started working on these things, this is why I was pretty confident that we would see a trailer at Celebration for season 4. But the fact that hashtag hot Callus was something that they have been dealing with for about a year and a half before they showed this trailer tells me that even the people who are working on it kind of realize that, oh yeah, they've made Callus into kind of a dreamboat, if you will.
He's a total dreamboat. I'm also really excited just to see what they do with his character in general, because obviously he had an amazing position within the Empire in order to be able to feed them information about what was currently happening and what was going on. But also now that he's back and he's fully immersed in the rebellion, he now very much has incredible insight in respect to strategy and everything else that no one else probably has, because he's come from the Empire as one of their spies. So it's just really interesting. I'd love to see what they're going to be doing with him,
Like, the weird part for me, I haven't watched season 3 yet. And so the last time I saw him was, I'm forgetting names now. When he fell down that cavern hole with
Zeb and Callus are in that. Yeah.
Oh my god, I love that episode so much.
So that's the last time I've seen him. So actually, it wasn't until like I think I was partway through the trailer, I went, "That's why that guy looks familiar." Because I haven't seen him since. Mm-hmm.
So I have to pick on his hair a little bit. He's got Ezra's Aladdin hair. If people picked on Ezra for 2 seasons for the Aladdin hair, and then he got a buzz cut because he was tired of it, we can't give Callus a pass. I don't care if he's got the sexy stubble. Sexy stubble doesn't mean we can't pick on the Aladdin hair.
See, for me, he looks more Jaime Lannister than Aladdin. So
it's because it's blonde. I see. It's because he's got blonde
hair.
No,
he's got a very Nikolai Coster-Waldau look to him.
And I think, like, in terms of the character, like, he's coming out of the Empire, right? So
yeah,
he's letting his hair grow out.
He lets his hair down?
Yeah, if you
anyway,
will.
The last thing I want to talk about, I'm gonna move on from this because I just feel awkward talking about Callus's hair. I wonder if he moisturizes. Anyway, moving on. Can I say the coolest thing that we're seeing in Rebel Season 4 is none other than the classic ship, the Star Wars ship that we all know and love, X-Wings. And I'm posting the picture right now. If you take a look, we see Hera in a different, right after that, we see the X-Wings, we see Hera in a different outfit. And people are like, oh, is she in an X-Wing? And I will tell you, I know for a fact that she is in the X-Wing. The reason why is because that very first ship, you can see Chopper hanging out in it. And when we go to the other shot of Hera, you can actually see Chopper in the background also. So Hera is flying an X-Wing, just like good old Luke Skywalker. So I am beyond ecstatic about that. I actually think it's just really cool to see Chopper sitting in an X-Wing in the back. But yeah, that's just, I think that's kind of cool. Yeah, and you can even see her sitting in that first ship if you zoom in and everything. But come on, X-Wings, like Green Squadron, can you see this? Like they have green on the side of their ship and everything.
I'm so excited.
I don't know if it's X-Wings. Green Squadron or not, you know, because, you know, for the X-Wings are my favorite ship. Come on, like,
I love X-Wings so much.
Don't get me wrong.
I'm so glad they're coming to Rebels.
I love A-Wings. I love B-Wings that Hera got to fly the prototype, but X-Wings are iconic Star Wars. Like, that's the Rebels TIE Fighter. You know what I mean? Like, the TIE Fighter is uniquely Imperial. The X-Wing is uniquely Rebels, and I love it. So Hera's got some new duds sporting the X-Wing with Chopper as her astromech, and I really just want to see a space battle. Like, we've seen space battles with the Ghost, but I want to see, like, a good old, like, Rebel, you know, starship dogfight battle, and I think we're going to get it, finally. Sorry, I just got excited about that. Anything else about the trailer that I have skipped over, Dunya? I've tried to move through it. I pulled it up and kind of skimming through as we go.
No, I think it's good. I mean, obviously we got a little bit of Thrawn as well, so we know that's continuing. But yeah, I think it gave just enough, and I think we touched on everything we probably needed to for now. Right.
Yeah, and we'll have to see how Thrawn evolves in Season 4 and see what happens. But onto the trailer we all wanted to talk about. The Last Jedi. So just breathe. Just breathe. All right. I know, right? Did you guys hear our intro last week? I stuck that audio in the beginning. Anyway, so Resistance Radio trailer breakdown. I did make a post on our website with a bunch of pictures of every single scene. So I went through every single scene of the trailer. There are stills, so we could talk about it as we walk through it. And I've put some additional notes to kind of go through it. So the very first scene is stars. The very first photo is stars. And this sets
there
up...
There we go. That's
there
the
we go.
Beginning.
How about we'll do this?
That's
we'll
the
do this for you,
I remember.
Ben. Yeah, we'll do it. Well, the very beginning is stars, and you hear the music, kind of the tingling in, and then it's quickly revealed that it's not stars. So, what do you guys think about this? Because I remember speculation of the Force Awakens opening, where you would have you have to have the crawl into the star field, and then people are like, oh, it's going to be a can that she opens up and stuff like that, because we saw that in a trailer. What do you guys think of this? Like, I thought it was stars. Did anyone else think it was stars as we started out?
Yeah. Wait, what was it actually? Same. I thought they just faded very
slowly.
Smoothly. Yeah. Was it not stars? Was it like...
No, something? It was always the ground. It was always the ground. If you go to our website here, I'll post it for you, Ben, so you can flip through every image as
I'm currently on our website looking through it.
There it
I'm
is.
Just kind of,
yeah, so the first image is stars. And there you go. Yeah, yeah. And then it slowly fades in. It slowly fades in to the ground. And just like the Force Awakens trailer, there's that big, you know, big kind of surprise, and you see Rey's hand. So obviously she's on Octu, right?
I think we have an answer to how we're going to get from the title crawl to Octu.
Do you think that's what they're going to do?
Well, that or they're gonna do. I think we already talked about this, but like they could start with the villains and then cut to the moment at the end of Force Awakens.
Yeah, they could do that.
They wouldn't have to break their tradition of starting in space with like a ship or a planet or something. But they just faded and fooled me from stars to a rock. So
yeah, you know. I thought they were going to do that in The Force Awakens also, because we saw that, you know, that little thing she opens up, and it's like, you know, the backside of the panel on the Star Destroyer that Rey was in.
Right.
And, you know, in Force Awakens, they still started in space. They started with that little precursor of Kylo Ren and the Stormtroopers going to Jakku. So, you know, I think you're right. I think we'll probably start with the villains. Something
well,
kind
even,
of going on
even
there.
With a movie like... I don't know, like, Empire Strikes Back starts on Hoth and the movie gets going immediately, but the first scene is the probe droid coming down from the Star Destroyer. So it's like
and
this
that sets
extra,
the
like,
whole...
It's just like 30 seconds at the front of the movie just to be like, we're in space, how the heck are we going to get to the planet? And then they do something
you
like that.
You follow
so
it down.
They could do something like that, you know, I don't know. I'm just saying because this is the first time that it's like, there's no time jump, you know, how are they going to deal with it?
Yeah. Well, and Rian Johnson has also said... that the title crawl is the longest title crawl they've ever had for a Star Wars film.
Oh my gosh.
So,
considering there's time jump.
So how slow is the music going to be?
Well, no, it just is going to be an extra paragraph or something, I'm sure.
Oh, okay.
You know, but that is long, you know, because typically they're what, 3 or 4 paragraphs. This is, you know, add an extra paragraph on there, even though the paragraphs are like 1 or 2 sentences.
maybe it'll move super fast, and we'll be like, "Crap, I missed it."
you know, I guess it makes sense though, because we've talked about, you know, in The Last Jedi, before we even get further. Right now, we're talking about Rey's hand is where we're at, but in The Last Jedi, we have to remember.
We're supposed to analyze every tiny little detail, right?
I know. But at this point, we also know that, you know, the First Order, Starkiller Base, has been destroyed. You know, we saw that in The Force Awakens. And Hosnian Prime and almost all of the Republic, you know, the seats of power, have also been destroyed. So right now, there is a vacuum of, you know, just different, you know, a power struggle, right? Who's going to step in? You know, when we talked about, you know, going from episode 3, you know, Palpatine becoming the Senate and taking over. I think I posted, you know, and this is how liberty dies with thunderous applause, you know, that Padme says, is basically he turns into an emperor from a, you know, chancellor. The reason is because he tells people to do it. At this point, someone has to step in and take charge. And that's what the First Order is doing. So I feel like there's going to be a little bit more setup of this kind of power struggle, this power vacuum that's going on.
I would love to see, like, politically, it'd be like a Hux versus Leia kind of situation.
Oh yeah, Hux would be amazing.
She'd wipe the floor with him. So
yeah, but I don't know. Hux, like, he's fanatical. Like, you remember him talking to the First Order before they launched?
I love that scene, like, because it actually was scary. Like, from a, like, he's not a Sith or anything like that. He's just he's basically like the new Tarkin, I guess, if you want to put it that way. But like, Tarkin was much more put together. Whereas like Hux is just, yeah, like you said, he's fanatical. Like he's going crazy because he's like, look at all this that I have, and you know. But then he fights with Kylo Ren, like on a daily basis.
But you look at how our current political system is set up, and people who inspire that hysteria within people who know how to play on that emotion and know how to amplify it. Look at what's happening right now. You see it day in, day out, how much it works. If you inspire fear and hysteria within people, sometimes that's a lot stronger in respect to having a hold and influence over someone than a calming and well-measured presence the way that Leia has. So... Well, seeing them butt heads would be very interesting in respect to their different styles of political maneuvering, but they have very different sways over the people that they command and inspire, and very different ways of being able to approach and deal with that.
Yep, and you also got to remember, you know, if you go back to the Aftermath trilogy that we, you know, we spent a fair amount of time on this podcast talking about, you have to remember that Armitage Hux, you know, Hux is controlling everybody in the First Order. You know, he was told, you know, Gallius Rax told him that you will, you know, told all the stormtroopers, all the, you know, all the warriors that have been brainwashed and everything, that he is your leader. Like, you know, there's that scene in there where he has full control over, so he no longer has to worry about being pushed around because he has control of everybody. And we see a little of this in The Force Awakens too, when Kylo Ren mentions maybe we should go back to clones, and Rax is against this because of the way of the endocrine that they have. You know, they're taken and they're brainwashed growing up to do this. So there's definitely a power vacuum. The fact that Rax is still, I feel like Rax is probably as scary a villain as, you know, Snoke and Kylo Ren very easily, along with Phasma. So it's one of those things that we're going to see how he plays out through this. And we do see Phasma in the trailer a little bit further on. But let's get back to Rey real quick. Let's get back to the scene that we're at the trailer. So it started off with the stars, and then we have Rey, you know, we see the rocks, and then you get the music jump, you know, the spike in the music, the beat, and then you see Rey's hand. And
it's it's such a beautiful parallel to the first Force Awakens.
And to the trailer. First one where you see Finn, the same music almost, and you see Finn, except this time we know who it is.
Yeah.
And we know exactly what's going on.
I think it's a beautiful parallel. I loved it. I think it was very clever.
It's also the case with the voiceover. It's Luke, and we know that. Whereas last time, it was Snoke, and we didn't know that. So,
yeah, we didn't know who was speaking before, and now we know exactly who's where. But I love that everyone automatically assumes and knows, you know, we can see Rey in her costume that we saw at the end of Force Awakens. We see the rocks that are from Ahch-To. She's obviously breathing heavy because she's probably been just training, doing something, you know, focusing on something. Or I personally like to see, especially this very first scene, if we're trying to draw parallels, The Last Jedi to Empire Strikes Back, this reminds me a little bit of the scene in Return of the Jedi or Empire Strikes Back after Luke has the Force vision. I feel like Rey right here is not training, because there's another scene that we see her hand and we see rocks moving, but this very first part where it pans up to her and kind of breathing heavy, kind of like when Finn came up, it was actually him getting up from the crash, something drastic happening. I can't imagine her just falling down while training. You know, she's already pretty rugged. You know, she's lived a hard life. I feel like she had a Force vision.
And it's not, and it wouldn't be an unusual thing. For, I mean, we've already seen her have one. If she's more open to the Force, if she's been training for a while, and if she's moved forward slightly in her training, then she's very likely going to be more open to Force visions. So it wouldn't be completely out of the realm of possibility that that's the case. I actually really like that theory as well, that the Rey that we see here is one that has had a Force vision, and I think it's the way that I'm leaning as well. Like, I think that would be really interesting.
I'm doubting she was in a TIE fighter crash, so I'm going to agree with you.
you know what? I'm going to put my money on the TIE fighter crash, even though I said the other. No, you should. Yeah, I don't think she was in a
Wouldn't
TIE fighter
crash. Wouldn't that be funny if they had, like, an alternate opening where, like, to get from space to Ahch-To, it was just her, like, flipping in a TIE fighter, falling down to the planet, and then, like, crashing out and getting up, and then Luke is like...
That wouldn't be funny. That would just be, like, why? Confusing. Anyway.
That's the point.
Okay, anyway, right after that, it fades to black, and this Lucasfilm logo comes up, and Lucasfilm Limited logo, and a nice shiny, you know, chrome,
it's
gold.
It's not green anymore.
I know, it's not green like 80s neon, but we start to hear the music, which I absolutely love the music here, because it's a mix between the scavenger theme, which is Rey's theme, and the Use the Force theme, Yoda's theme, you know, the typical Jedi theme that you hear in New Hope and also in Empire Strikes Back when they just start discussing the Jedi and the Force and everything. So I absolutely love this music here because it's a perfect blending of the two. And it cuts to... honestly, when I first saw this, I instantly was reminded of Harry Potter and...
Prisoner of Azkaban?
Not Prisoner of Azkaban.
When Voldemort's getting the
Voldemort
and the Half-Blood Prince. Yeah, where he puts the Horcrux, and you like, because this right here, the Skellig Island, like the water flying over the water with that light. Again, you know, I'm a huge Harry Potter nerd, obviously, but like flying over the water, even seeing the island, it instantly brought up the iconic, you know, the image and visuals that I saw from the Half-Blood Prince, and also just like in those novels of traveling to this island where Voldemort his Horcrux, and it was very isolated and secluded, and it actually made me feel the same way, because who are we traveling to see? None other than Luke. Now, obviously, there's a difference between Voldemort and Luke, although he wants the Jedi to end, so who knows?
I think the mirror.
I was confused for a second, because when I think hovering over water looking at an island, I'm thinking of the opening of Hallows Part 2, when it's like Voldemort getting the wand from Dumbledore, and it's like this island where he's buried. But yeah, I totally also see the cave scene.
See, I think of why I said Prisoner of Azkaban earlier, as I was thinking of Azkaban. But anyways.
Yeah, so there's a lot of parallels to Harry Potter that you can pull from this first two scenes, but let's not, because it's a Star Wars podcast. But I will say, just seeing this expansive ocean, you know, obviously... you know, we had Rey previously in Force Awakens comment, "I've never seen so much green before." And then obviously she visits a planet that is covered in water with these jutting islands and different things that her and Chewie and R2 go to. It kind of shows you the expanse of the planet itself. You know, for me, I feel like just seeing this, I kind of knew where we were going right away. And then the next scene right after that, obviously the water panning up to see the island with the sun in the background. And then, it, you know, a bird's eye view of the island itself. What do you guys think of just seeing this island?
It's obviously, we know it's shot. In Ireland. There's not there's no special effects in that shot, I'm assuming. They just waited till sunrise and then just...
I'm sure. Like, I'm sure there's, you know, I'm sure there's some edit, you know, some color grading and stuff to make it little bit better.
But, you know, it's just, that's cool. I can't believe that's a real place.
Yes.
Actually, my parents just went by it a couple days ago.
Just like in a canoe or something.
I am planning on going over at some point in the summer, so.
Ooh. Yeah. I probably wouldn't want to go in the winter, but yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
It'd be
just remember
really
to
cool.
breathe.
Just breathe. And actually, that's where we get the breathe, just breathe, right as it kind of...
I just did a transition accidentally. Yeah.
There you go. I do appreciate that, Ben. It's like I queued you up for it, or you did it on accident.
You totally did.
But I know I didn't. But yeah, so you have... So at this point is where you get the breathe, just breathe, the breathing part that Luke is trying to have her concentrate. And I will tell you, when I first saw this, I don't know about you guys, but I started listening to Luke, Mark Hamill, I started to breathe a little deeper and relax. I'm like, okay, this is the trailer. Like, I got into it, I will be honest.
Mark Hamill should train yoga or something.
Right. Breathe. Yoga with Mark. Jedi yoga. I'm okay with that. Yeah. But yeah, any comments about the island right here?
I think mostly that it's a very interesting shot. Particularly in respect to Star Wars, we're starting to see like a deviation from the usual style. Like these very like zoomed out panning shots that are very artistic. We had a couple of very striking shots in like the Rogue One trailers and Rogue One in general that were quite zoomed out, and you could see quite a lot of like the location. But in the saga films, a lot of the time it's been very close up, very focused shots that you tend to get, whereas this is very, very far out, and it's a testament to Rian Johnson's style as well. So you can see his visual stamp all over this.
I think
completely
also getting like Rian Johnson, but also I mean when I think of like Force Awakens, I was trying to think in Force Awakens if there were any like big establishing shots, and one of the shots I remember especially from the trailer was when it's like Rey on her speeder but the huge Star Destroyers in the sand in the background. That in the movie it lasts for like 10 seconds or something like that. Like it's a pretty cool shot, and I think that's definitely a testament to like J.J. Abrams and Rian Johnson are both like, I don't know, younger Spielberg addicts. You know, so like they want to, if we can't have Spielberg, let's go with someone who can direct like him, I think might be the thought process behind it. But, yeah, I love the fact that they're taking their time showing us where we are.
Yeah, well, you know, and remember, Spielberg was supposed to direct Empire Strikes Back originally.
Oh, I thought he was supposed to direct Return of the Jedi.
No, he was supposed to do Empire Strikes Back and could not do it. The same reason why Lucas got in trouble for it, because there are no title credits before the movie starts. So he couldn't do that.
Title crawl, it's more important.
I know, he had a title crawl, but he couldn't do it because there was no title credits before, and Directors Guild of America, which you know Spielberg is part of, DGA, would not allow him to do it. So
lame.
It's kind of a bummer.
I would have
anyway,
loved to see a Spielberg Star
Wars one thing movie. One thing I do want to point out, which I think is really interesting, on this island, you don't really see any trees until we get further in, where you see the books and you see what looks like tree or wood or something gnarled. And I just posted a page from the Shattered Empire specifically. What's so important about these trees is that they're the tree that grew at the heart of the Jedi Temple on Coruscant. The Force is with them, the Force trees, if you will. That we got in our Shattered Empire comic book. Danya, you can talk about it.
What, the Shattered Empire? Absolutely love that comic. But yeah,
Shara
so
Bay.
Shara Bay is my bay. But yeah, no, the whole idea is that they liberate the Force trees, which have come from the original force tree that they believe. Well, one of the trees was at the Jedi Temple.
On Coruscant.
On Coruscant. But the whole belief is that he wants to take at least one of the saplings back to the first Jedi Temple. Because what more fitting way to reestablish the Jedi Order than to, I guess, take it back to its source. So It's very interesting that potentially we're starting to see these themes that have been brought up in the comics and stuff kind of work their way back into the films. I love it. Mm-hmm.
Well, and it's interesting because remember one of the first rumors we got was that a tree explodes when they're filming on Skellig Island. And we kind of didn't think too much about it. But looking at the island, I don't see... I don't see any trees on here, and it definitely looks like we're going inside. But we'll kind of move on a little bit further into it. As we go on, we have, after the island shot, we have Rey just looking out into the water, and then Luke telling her to close her eyes and reach out. And we go to the next shot, which is her hand and rocks. So what do you guys think about this right here? Is she lifting the rocks? Is Luke doing it? At least it's not sand. Okay. No, nothing about her using the force.
I like it a lot. Okay, somebody else talk.
No, like I get it. Like right here, we see her reach out, use the force. I do find it a little parallel between Empire again, where Luke was forced to move rocks also and balance them and stuff like that. So I'm interested to see how that plays into Rey's training. But going from there, we have her to sit, do things like, what do you see? And that's when we see the light. And that's when it goes to an image of Princess Leia or General Leia at a new base for the Resistance. Obviously, there's a map there. But we also hear in the background, and I've updated your notes, Caitlin. We also hear in the background at about the 47 mark, you hear what sounds like Princess Leia saying, "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope." Her line that, you know, the iconic line from A New Hope. What do you guys think about this from when she's talking about the light?
Oh, I was... Okay, somebody else talk first. You talk first, I talk first.
I mean, honestly, I think it's very interesting because it's using very iconic lines associated quite closely with each of those parts. So when you're talking about balance and the light, and then they use "Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my only hope," then you move on to darkness and you've got, like, you know, your father was seduced by the dark side of the force, and it's really iconic lines that are specifically linked with each of those things. So I thought it was quite interesting that they chose to have that underlying in the background. Very good use of sound, and also very reminiscent of Rey's force vision from The Force Awakens, where she hears Obi-Wan and I think it was Yoda as well.
Yep.
In the background.
And it was both Obi-Wans too.
Yeah.
It was both Alec Guinness and Ewan McGregor.
Yes. So, you know, very, very interesting choice to mimic that in the trailer. Particularly overlaid with a Rey who is in training with Luke, who may or may not have additional force visions while she's in training. You know, I just think it was very deliberate, very interesting, and very clever use of sound editing in a trailer. Which they're always very, very good at that sort of stuff. So
yeah, well, even moving on to the... Okay.
I was just going to say, could anybody make out what the murmuring was when she said balance, though?
Yes, I put it in the doc also. We'll get to it in a second.
Okay. Sorry. At the 47... I have a question for Mikey. This is important. Sorry. At the 47-second mark, I was not able to hear the voice because I was taken by the fact that John Williams put Rey's theme over Leia.
Yes.
So, does that mean something, Mikey?
Well, I think it's going to be, you know, remember I said the beginning music was both the scavenger theme as well as the, right. You know, the force theme, right? So at this point, I don't think it was again, I'm pretty sure John Williams did not write the music for the trailer. I'm pretty sure this is just audio editing from all the Star Wars music that's around.
Well, someone made the decision to put it over Leia.
Yeah, and I think I'm just asking a question. And I think it's because this is Luke is asking Rey, "What do you see?" And this is Rey, like,
I guess
Rey the light side. So I'll say that,
and then we hear Kylo Ren's theme 2 seconds later. So
exactly, like, which is what I want to talk about here. So
yeah, okay.
This mask. You know. Someone made a choice. You're right. Instead of Leia's theme,
I'm just gonna leave that there until December, and then
Leia didn't have a theme in Force Awakens. This is the second trilogy. You can't go back to the old motifs. Anyway, right here you have a mask on the ground.
That's not true.
Am 100% convinced that it is Kylo Ren's mask. Other people have said it's Vader's mask. Yeah, see, well, here's the thing is, there's also Vader breathing in the background of this. If you listen carefully, you hear Vader's breath. And then it also says, what did it say? It says, your father was seduced by the dark side. When Rey says darkness. So you see, kind of this, you know, this kind of different thing going on. Like, does that make sense? Like, you hear Vader, but you see his mask. So there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of different things there.
I thought it was Kylo Ren's mask immediately.
Yeah, I'm pretty confident in the fact that that's Kylo's mask.
Those lines. You can see the lines over the eye.
Yeah, it was,
and that's what I said. I feel like it's Kylo Ren's mask because in every other scene of Kylo Ren in the trailer, which we'll get to, he's not wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that, and also we know what Vader's mask looks like when it's all in shambles and stuff because we saw it in Force Awakens. So I feel like we would have recognized it. Had it been Vader's mask.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's got silver accents as well along it, in ridges, the way that Kylo Ren's mask has as well, so I'm pretty much sold 100% on the fact, and very confident in that is Kylo Ren's mask, which is also fairly interesting, particularly as we know that he's moving into training, or finishing his training with Snoke. That's why he's been taken away from Starkiller Base and returned to Snoke. So I wonder if that's him shedding that persona, that attempt to emulate Darth Vader and move into becoming a completely different character, someone who is uniquely his own thing, which I would find far more interesting. To me, that he no longer needs to hide behind this mask, that he becomes something else entirely. For me, I think that would be particularly with this idea that maybe he's unshackled himself, or feels that he's unshackled himself from the light side by killing his father, and therefore he no longer needs to use that connection to Vader as a crutch anymore. Like, I think personally that would be a far more interesting path to take him down.
I agree. However, I'm looking at the eye of the mask, and just based on the shape, it looks like more like Darth Vader's.
And that's where people. But look at the back rim. You see silver, which was Kylo Ren's. Like, do you see the backside of it?
Yeah, I know. So, like, because this is the thing. Like, I'm looking at a comparison between the two, and Kylo Ren's. Like, if you look on the outside of the eye, it's more of a. Almost like a straight edge. It's more rectangular, whereas Darth Vader's is more like the shape of an eye, or like kind of like a football, right? And it does close on the inside of the eye. It doesn't spread over like Kylo Ren's did.
Yeah.
Am I making any sense, or am I alone in that?
No, it does. But like I said, I'm fairly calm. We'll put you in the column of it's Vader's mask. We'll see come December, Caitlin. We'll see. I'll put you in the Vader thing, but I feel like it's Kylo Ren.
You actually keeping track of this?
I keep tabs because you will never hear the end of it when Rey is Luke's daughter. See, I worked it in. But as we move on, we have obviously this is for darkness. We go to a picture of this tree and books, and there's some dialogue. What was that?
Is it two of my favorite things?
Yeah, trees, books, and then we see the symbol, which is a classic, an old school, you know, EU Jedi symbol with a gloved right hand, mind you. So I believe that's Luke's hand, 100%, touching this book.
It wasn't gloved in Force Awakens, though.
Well, it's an old leather glove. I would think it's Luke's hand, unless someone else has others.
I know we like the tree idea, but, I mean, who's to say this isn't just a rock?
Well, it also looks a lot like the Bendu, who looked like a bunch of trees on, right, you know, Chopper Base. What do you think about these books here, Danya?
I think I mentioned it on the previous episode that I'm pretty sure that considering all of the mentions that we've been getting and all of the
sort Journal of the Wills.
It's the Journal of the Wills. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure it's like a Journal of the Wills and like, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi's journal and Yoda's How to Build a Lightsaber and, you know, a couple other books.
When they open, like, the Journal of Obi-Wan Kenobi, we get a Force ghost.
Of Hayden Christensen?
No, of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
gosh. Just as a point, doesn't this feel a little Indiana Jones to you?
It is a little.
Yeah, just displayed there, like, waiting for somebody to pluck one.
Well, I think if they're not displayed, I don't think they were there. I think those are things Luke put there. You know, this is him living on the island. I feel like this is his home. Like, this is the Yoda little hobbit hole, you know, home. You know, this is his Dagobah right now. Like, I feel like this is his home. That's his bookshelf. you know, so this begs the question, if you're stranded on a desert, on a deserted island, you know, and you could bring, I'm counting that, 6, 7, 8 books, what books would you bring? You know, that's,
well, that's 7 Harry Potter books.
You know, and if you're just stranded on a deserted island, you could bring 8 books, what would you bring? And obviously, we're going to find out what Luke's favorite books were.
It's like the Journal of the Wills and the Thrawn book. And...
No. The Book of Wills and then the 7 Harry Potter books.
There you go. All right. And then obviously from there, he's talking balance. They're talking about the balance and we see this old Jedi kind of symbol. It has the lightsaber and kind of the, you know, kind of the rebellion logo, kind of the Firebird logo coming around it. But then the best part about that is as soon as you talk about the balance and you see this, is it cuts to a scene of the rocks again on Ahch-To, and you see someone training with the lightsaber and someone watching them train. It's like,
it's so Karate Kid.
It is. It is kind of like Karate Kid, you know, just like doing the crane kick, right?
Yeah.
So this, you know, so obviously there's going to be some lightsaber training, which means Rey is going to be a little bit more competent with the saber. I expect a little bit more in this film. I expect a little bit more cinematic. When I say cinematic, I'm thinking more Phantom Menace style duels than what we saw in Force Awakens, which is a little bit more raw and makes a lot of sense. So I'm excited to see a little, you know, some really fast paced lightsaber action in this film. We might not get it, but I think we'll see some of it. From there, it goes to
Luke
this Christmas. Yeah, it goes to this Christmas, and then we go into this amazing shot of this new ship that, in the speculation, they're B-wings. I don't think they're B-wings by any means. It's similar in you know, that there's a pod and there's the engine and there's something else.
I can't wait for the Lego version. Oh my gosh.
I know, right? So there's definitely something that looks similar to B-wings, but they're flying on the ground, and there's even something that is, people ask, like, what is this red stuff? They're dragging something on the ground, which is causing the red to come up.
I thought they were cutting the ground and the gas was coming out of the ground.
Oh, maybe. I just thought...
Because when the ship flies through the frame and hits the ground, the red stuff only happens when it's touching the ground. And it's
every part of the ship that's touching the ground, the red stuff is from the ground. Right. So, and not, but not it looks the like they're ship. Dragging something. But okay. Yeah, there's like a peg or something that is like touching the ground or something. But on that very first shot, you actually see the new walk that they're flying towards, these walkers that are off in the distance, which I think is pretty, you know, it's kind of cool. We've had rumors that these walkers are huge and big and look kind of like gorillas, but you can see the walkers off in the background. So okay, I fully expect
two things with the red smoke. I assumed it was to make cover for other, whatever their next wave of defense is. Second of all, like, it it starts off the scene with that one hitting the ground, obviously by somebody who doesn't fly very well. So who do we think is piloting it? Because everybody else is in formation except for that one.
You know, here's the thing. Is I don't Jar-Jar. Know if it's... No, Jar Jar is on Naboo. He's a clown. Mm-hmm. We learned this. Honestly, I don't think like it's... I don't think it's a... I don't think it's anybody significant, really. And I want to move through this because I know Donya's got to head out soon.
Yeah.
Or now. But I don't think it's anybody significant. Donya, what do you think about these B-wing, not B-wings?
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that they look very much like B-wings, but...
Can we call them maybe wings?
Maybe wings, maybe wings.
I agree.
Like
oh, dear.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they're interesting. I like the idea that they're using this as some sort of cover going up against these new AT-ATs, and I don't know about like the idea that who could be piloting one of them, considering they're finding it difficult to keep their balance. Maybe it's Finn.
Well, that was my thought.
Why he's in stasis in the next scene. Mm-hmm. So he's actually asleep. Yeah. While piloting.
These could be different parts of the movie.
I don't know, man. He come on, like the B-wings can't be that hard to fly. He can fly while asleep. But actually, that leads us to the next scene where he's in a stasis pod, and that's the only time we see Finn in the trailer.
Which makes it bad.
Well, it's a teaser.
Well, it's a teaser, and we know Finn's gonna have a bigger role with a new character that we didn't see in the trailer called Rose. So I'm sure in the next trailer or so, we'll get more of Finn and Rose's antics.
I'm okay with seeing Finn at least alive, because I was freaking out at the end of Force Awakens when I thought he died.
Yeah, he's not allowed to die.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Finn's like the Hagrid of the series. He can't die.
Well, personally, I don't want any of them to die, because it would make me very sad.
Well, yes. That's true, but I'm saying as far as like characters that are just lovable for the sake of being lovable and also awesome, I would say Finn.
Yeah. Well, let's move along, because I know Donya needs to head out. Or are you heading out right now, Donya?
I need to head out soon. Like, okay, it's like half midnight.
I know. We're more than halfway through the trailer here. Let's wrap it up, guys, because I think all the really hidden stuff was at the beginning, and now it's the action sequence of a bunch of shots, which is really cool because we get to see Mr. Poe Dameron and his wonderful little BB-8 droid running down a hallway. I'm assuming running towards the ship, because the next scene is him going to his X-Wing, and it explodes!
Gosh, he needs to stop blowing up his X-Wings.
Yes.
I know, right? That's two X-Wings.
This is the one second in one film. In two movies.
At least this one, he's not flying.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, yeah. He wasn't flying. He was in the last one.
He was at least got in the ship before it blew up.
Yeah. And then I will say there is a nice counterbalance to this, because as we see Finn and Poe and BB-8 run away from the ship as it's exploding, it instantly cuts to a TIE fighter that explodes from, I'm assuming, Falcon fire, and we see some TIE fighters chasing after the Millennium Falcon, which I feel like this is on Ahch-To still, so I feel like this is from, it's Rey and Luke and Chewie and R2-D2 flying the Falcon right
there. So you're thinking the First Order finds them?
Oh yeah, I'm sure
because they could barely find Luke. I'm wondering how that would even go down.
Well, I guess it makes sense, because what else is going to pull Luke and Rey off of Ahch-To? Oh, it has.
I was thinking like a Force vision of Rey seeing her friends in danger, like Luke,
Luke did.
And that could happen. But also maybe she has a Force vision and Kylo Ren's like, oh my gosh, that's where she is, because I just also had this vision or something. I don't know. And then he's like, go.
Well, and then the next scene, the reason why I say I feel like it's there, the next scene is Rey running, and she's still in the same outfit that she wore at the end of The Force Awakens. She's got her lightsaber ignited, so I feel like this is on Ahch-To, and she's going to go fight something. Does that
same
make sense?
Same hairstyle, too.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that's where it is, and then it cuts to Kylo Ren, and I will say... He looks very menacing. I like him without the mask. And like I said, I think I'm pretty sure it was Kylo Ren's mask, Caitlin, not Vader's, since we have him without a mask here.
And can I just Really quickly, sorry. If you look at Rey's lightsaber, it's all, like, clean lines, and then you look at Kylo Ren's, and it's all jagged. Like, it's like fire instead of a beam of light.
Yes, they explained why that was. It's because his kyber crystal is damaged.
It's a bleeding, cracked kyber crystal. It's an unstable lightsaber.
It was. If you read the visual dictionary, if you read the Force Awakens visual dictionary, it has a breakdown of Kylo Ren's lightsaber, and it explains why the it's basically cobbled together and broken.
Yeah.
Kind of like him.
Exactly. So it's definitely, also, so you can definitely see the difference between the two.
You can see the top of the scar that Rey gave him above his eye.
Yes.
So I'm really excited to see. I'm excited he doesn't have a mask because now he's going to have this awesome, like, gash down his face.
Kind of like his grandfather, like Anakin Skywalker.
Right, yeah. Well, that, and then also he can just be like, you know, I don't know. Like, it's only a flesh wound.
The ladies like scars. Moving on that. Moving beyond that is a shot that I would say is, I feel like, is part of the Force vision of, you know, Luke's original Jedi temple. He started being destroyed, him and R2-D2 there. That maybe kind of like what we saw in Rey's
vision. Oh, yeah, because we saw this in the trailer for Force Awakens, right?
Yeah, we felt like we saw something like this in the trailer.
Yeah.
And we saw a little bit of like the Knights of Ren destroying something in The Force Awakens. So I feel like this is like a flashback explanation, something like this type of scene. Because I don't know if it's going to happen. Because I can't imagine this being Ahch-To, because I never saw buildings on there. So I feel like this is like something, you know, that Luke had set up, and this is what, you know, it ended, and this is why he went in search of the first Jedi temple.
Do you think and then it get, sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, and then it's cut directly to Phasma walking into flames. Flames. So you're kind of meant to almost think that's the same, but I feel like one is in the past, and this one, yeah, I don't think it is by any means.
The only reason I say that is because the ground Phasma's on is super slick, and then at the back left corner, you can see kind of an Imperial door frame or like a First Order door frame. So. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking this might be the hangar of like Poe's blown up X-wing ship. Or something.
Yeah, I would be more believing that just because, you know, if Poe's ship gets blown up, who's better to blow it up than, you know, none other than Captain Phasma, who's back. Phasma's back.
That'd be fantastic. Back again.
And then the best thing about Star Wars is the space battles. It cuts to some amazing footage of space battles that just like instantly makes me think of Battle over Scarif and, you know, the first Death Star assault and the second Death Star. It's just a wonderful, like,
I got
awesome
second
space
Death
battles.
Star vibes because there's a planet below. So I was like, oh, and second Death Star is one of my favorite battles from the entire.
Oh yeah. And you see X-Wings and TIE fighters and it's a dogfight, you know, excited. And then obviously cuts to black to Mr. Luke Skywalker sitting in a cave, saying the most important lines of, it's time for the Jedi to end.
Does it bother anyone that his cloak is not very long?
It's a poncho.
It's just like a Jedi poncho.
I mean, come on. All of the good guys end up wearing some kind of poncho at one time or another.
Well, like it probably got ripped on the rocks.
It's true.
Oh, there we go. All right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then
fashionable and functional.
And so then now we.
Well, I mean, like Rey in the poster, doesn't Rey have like capris and boots?
Yeah.
Or something like she the Jedi look is like it's changing swiftly and
it's Jedi chic.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then
did anyone else think though that when we heard this line, does the audio sound spliced together, but it matches the end part matches what Luke is saying. So to end matches, like if you look at his lips, that's what he's actually saying or appears to be saying. But it seems like the editing of it is spliced together, so it may come from different parts in a sentence or the same scene. Well,
even under like cheap, multiple listens, the first like, part geez. Says it's time for the Jedi. It's time for the Jedi. Almost doesn't sound like Luke. Like, it could be, but it almost sounds like Kylo Ren that we heard in the Force Awakens. Like, it sounds weird, that part. The to end part is definitely Luke. You see him say it, you hear him, it's his voice. But the first part, it's time for the Jedi, and then, like you said, it's definitely spliced together. The time for the Jedi sounds different. And I don't know if it's just the editing, or if it's someone else saying that, and then it's Luke. Like, really...
I half don't want to agree with you, just because that'd be such cheap teasing. But, like, at the same time, the Force Awakens trailers gave us a lot of curveballs that actually didn't end up happening. So, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know, his voice sounds deeper when he says to end, and says it's time for the Jedi, and that's why I was like, maybe it's not Luke saying that first part, I don't know. But regardless, it's time for the Jedi, and it's very ominous, it sets the tone for it to be a very dark film, and then after that, it cuts right into the logo of Star Wars, The Last Jedi, all in red, blood red, if you will.
The red logo, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's definitely a striking contrast from the classic yellow, but we've seen this before.
Well, we've also never had music this loud and dramatic during a title. Like, usually, like, all the music stops and then it's, like, a really quiet, like, Star Wars. And this is, like,
yeah, no, this was, like, dark. Yeah, it was dark. So, I will say, this trailer is one I've watched many, many times over and over again. And we'll see. We'll have to see what happens. The problem with teaser trailers is, as Star Wars fans, it's our job to overanalyze them and to obsess over them until we get more. And then we get more and more.
And we have.
Yeah. I think we're at almost an hour and a half of just discussing a minute 30. So it's definitely one of those things where I feel like we've covered the trailer. Is there anything else about this trailer that we skipped over? We talked about Phasma.
The biggest thing is
I want more. You know, December can't come soon enough.
After we got the title, it says December. Like, what do you think that means?
It means coming in December.
Well, it means coming in December. In Mikey's photos, the last picture I have, it's all black, and I'm like, oh, good, so we can spend the next 20 minutes just talking about the black screen and what it means.
Nice. Yes, it does cut to black. Anyway, thank you all for listening to another episode of Resistance Radio. Feel free to reach out to us on Twitter at @RRadioPodcast. Or on Facebook at facebook.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Remember to visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/resistanceradiopodcast. Make sure you sign up before the end of this month, because we will be doing our first movie theater night. As always, I'm Mikey B.
I'm Danya.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Caitlin.
And may the Force be with you.
And also with you.
With you.
Not as coordinated this time.